Okay, we're going to pray and we'll look into God's word this morning. Father, I pray you would open our hearts to your word. There would just be like a, I don't know, an inspiration that comes from your Holy Spirit around this topic of wisdom. We need it so much in our world today, Lord, your wisdom that comes from God. Pray that you'd help us to just tune in and focus and teach us by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, last week I shared from Proverbs chapter 1 and we talked about how wisdom is crying out. Wisdom is always out kind of in the public spheres and it's crying out to people saying, hey, come to me, I have something to give you. So in that one, we were talking mostly about this, like wisdom personified, calling out to us. And do we just have an ear to hear? Today, I'm going to turn around the other way because the Bible also teaches that we need to pursue wisdom. We need to cry out for wisdom. So you can be kind of on the passive side and say, I hope wisdom gets to me someday. Because it's crying out in the streets. Or you can say, hey, you know what? I need to become intentional. And I want to pursue wisdom myself. And that's what I want to share this morning. You know, we looked at the scripture there that Christy read a little bit ago. And you have this picture of this Queen of Sheba. You know, a powerful woman. Queen of a city or a country or a region or whatever it was. And she had heard about this wisdom that Solomon had. And it so moved her to actually pack up some of her stuff and come to see it. I want to hear it. I want to ask him questions. I want to see what this wisdom has done in Solomon's life. And it was not only, you know, the words he spoke and the questions that he was able to answer, but his wisdom was seen in even how everything was, the setting of the tables, the way his servants moved, the entrance up into the house of the Lord. It's like everything about Solomon's life was touched by wisdom. So it affected not just him, you know, intellectually, not just having, you know, answers to questions, but it affected everything in his life. And she was so impressed by this wisdom, but that wisdom came from God. But see, she's an example of somebody who was looking. She traveled a long way to hear about this wisdom. I want to just pursue this in my life. And that's kind of the heart I'm hoping that we can leave here today with, that I just want to pursue wisdom. I want to have a heart like that Queen of Sheba that pursues God's wisdom for my life. So the first couple scriptures there, Proverbs 1:21 from last week, it says, at the head of the noisy streets, she, wisdom, cries out. That's what we talked about last week. This week, Proverbs 2:3 says, if you call out, that's the same Hebrew word, if you cry out. So wisdom's crying out. Now he's saying, how about you crying out? If both of us can cry out, we'll maybe meet somewhere. So if you cry out for insight and raise your voice for understanding. So that's kind of like the two-way street. Wisdom is calling. But he says, hey, you should also call out. Cry out for wisdom. So Proverbs 2, verse 1, let's read. I want to read verses 1 through 6 and talk about that today. Proverbs 2, verse 1 through 6. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you. Now, remember, if you remember reading through verse chapter 1, this is wisdom speaking. And it's really, you know, Solomon's being taught this by his father in some respects as well. So he says, my son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to my wisdom and then inclining your heart to understanding. So can you hear these words that kind of give this intentionality here? He says, if you receive my, there's a having a heart to receive, a receptivity. If you receive my words, if you treasure my commands. Some of you might be reading a version that says, to hide my commands, to hide it in your heart. And that's the idea. It's something so valuable, you just want to, you want to store it away, treasure it, hide it away. So this is an idea of intentionality. Make your ear attentive, you know, paying attention, listening, putting your ear out there to say, hey, I want to hear this wisdom that's coming from God. So he talks about making your ear attentive. He talks about inclining your heart. That word incline just means to lean into it. I want to lean my heart toward this understanding. It's intentional. In verse 3, he says, yes, if you call out for insight. There's that pursuit, going after it. If you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding. If you seek it like silver. How many of you know if you had, if somebody told you, hey, Gordon, I don't know if you knew this, but many years ago, somebody buried, you know, $100,000 worth of silver in your backyard. We know it's in your backyard. What would you be doing today? Would you invite anybody to come along? You know, you would be seeking, you know, because you know there's something of value. There's something of value to be had here, so you seek for it. And then the next thing he says, if you search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. Remember we learned that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom? He says here, if you pursue this, then you'll understand the fear of the Lord. You'll know what it is. This is how it comes to you. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. I want to know God. I want to know the Lord. Jesus said one time, this is eternal life, that you know the Lord and the one he sent. This is eternal life, to know God. Jesus one time said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say? And some of us will go on that day and say, Lord, haven't we done many mighty things in your name? And he says, I never knew you. See, it's really about knowing the Lord. And this is, he's telling us here, this is how you get to know him. You will find the knowledge of God by pursuing this wisdom. You understand the fear of the Lord, and you will find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Where does wisdom come from? It's really from the Lord. It comes from him. So I want to take and build upon these scriptures here today. You guys understand, you ever heard of a statement called an if-then statement? Like, if you do this, then this will happen. Like, if you jump off of a 40-story building, then you will crash into the ground and probably die. So in other words, the if means it's a condition. If you do this, something will happen. And that's what's here. There's three times he uses the word if in this portion of Scripture. And one time he uses the word then. So if you do this, if you do this, if you do this, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and you will find the knowledge of God. So I'm asking, what are those ifs? Because I want the fear of the Lord and I want the knowledge of God. So what are the conditions he puts on it? What are the if things that he's telling me, if you do this, what can I do, Lord? And I want to talk about those. So first one's found there in verse 1. He says, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom, and then inclining your heart to understanding. Now, when I look at these verses in the Bible, I want to understand, well, what does it mean? You know, what is it talking about? And sometimes what you can do is look up like a Strong's Concordance or something like that and find out some definitions to help us understand what is he really saying? What's he talking about here? And so I did that, and here's what I pulled away from this. I think each one of these if statements, they almost like they build on one another. And let me show you what I mean. So he says, first of all, if you receive my words. Now, the next part of that verse 2 says, if your ear is attentive. So I think initially what he's just basically saying, hey, take time to listen to God's word. Let your ear be attentive. Pay attention. Put yourself into a place where you can hear God's word. Whether you're reading it, whether you're listening to it on your phone or whatever, you're letting your ear become attentive. You know, and you're paying attention. You're tuning into it. Because sometimes we have things going on that's just background noise. I mean, you can listen to Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy and have no idea what was said because you were daydreaming about something else. So it's the idea. Anybody ever done that before besides me? Or it's like you're reading in the Bible somewhere. You say, what did I just read? And you go back, what did I just read? And I was thinking about what I was going to have for lunch that day. So you have to tune in. Tune in. That's what it means. Let your ear be attentive. But he goes on to say something kind of building on that, which is what? Treasure my commands with you. And then the parallel part of that in verse 2 is to incline your heart for understanding. Here's what I think he's saying is, it's one thing to tune in and hear the words of God, but it's like another step to treasure his commandments. That I hear it with my ear, but I want to get it into my heart. I want to incline my heart to understand this. In other words, I'm moving toward obedience. See, I'm hearing, my ears are tuned in. I'm hearing what you're saying, Lord. My ears are there. But now I need to engage my heart. I need to take it to another level. Not just hearing your word, but hiding your commandments. Lord, I want to take the things that I'm hearing and honor them, treasure them. Like something of value, so value that I want to hide it away and store it away and say, I want to incline my heart toward these commandments. See, I feel like there's times in my life and our lives, all of us, where we hear. We fill our hearts with knowledge. I heard someone say one time that in America, we are educated far beyond our obedience. You know, far beyond our obedience. What if we start taking the things that we're hearing, you know, we're tuning in and God is speaking to our hearts, and we say, Lord, I treasure that. I treasure this as a command of the Lord, and I want to begin to lean into it. I want to begin to incline my heart toward it. I don't want to just be a listener. Yeah, I'll give my ears, but I want to give my heart. So that's what he's saying here. That's one of the if statements. If. How about the next one? Is in verse 3. He says, if you call out for insight. That's that word crying out. Lord, I need insight. Lord, I need wisdom. I'm crying out for it. Here I am in this world trying to figure things out. Lord, I'm in a situation here. I need your wisdom. You're crying out. And then he says, raise your voice. So you're going to see again here that crying out is one thing. Raising the voice is almost like another level, taking it to another degree. And let's talk about it. Calling out is just asking. You ever been in a situation where you say, Lord, I need you. I need some wisdom. I'm calling out. I'm asking. That's what he's basically speaking about here. But the word insight is an interesting word because it just means to comprehend something intellectually. Like, for example, I'll give you my example in a minute. What about raising your voice? So, Lord, I'm calling out. I need some insight. I need some wisdom in this situation. So the Lord gives me some insight. Okay, great. Now, the next thing it says, raise your voice for understanding. This actually means to be able to give voice to it yourself. It's like you take ownership of it. It becomes my own. Yeah, I might know what to do in a situation, but now I'm taking ownership of it. It's no longer just an intellectual knowledge, Like, what should I do in this situation? I'm actually doing it. And I can voice it as my own. It becomes more subjective. It's way beyond just like a surface understanding. And I wrote an example down. Like the Bible says, how many of are familiar with the scripture that says life and death are in the power of the tongue? Right? You know what that means? It means basically you can use your words to either build someone or tear them down. How many of you know that? Okay, now that's intellectual knowledge. When it becomes real is the next time you have an opportunity to open your mouth. And so that's when it moves toward wisdom, when it moves beyond, oh yeah, I know that scripture, a soft answer turns away wrath, or there's life and death in the power of tongue. Yeah, I know that intellectually, and I've cried out. I said, Lord, give me some insight. I want to know what the Bible says about the use of my tongue. So I do my Bible study, and I have all these scriptures laid out there about how my tongue is to be used. But then tomorrow comes, and I haven't taken ownership of it. And that's what he means when he says, raise your voice for understanding. Give me understanding, Lord. I have the knowledge of it now. Now, let me know how to apply this to my life. Can you see how this pursuit of wisdom, it always increases, it always grows. It moves us from just the knowledge of something to actually implementing it in our life. Can you see that? Because otherwise, we're doing what Jesus said, where we hear the word of God and never do it. And Jesus said, let me show you who the wise man is. It's the one who hears my words and puts them into practice. He's building on a solid foundation. And the rains will come, the winds will blow, the streams will rise and beat against that house. It will not fall because it's on a rock. But the foolish person hears it. They have the intellectual knowledge. They grasp something about it. But they've never really taken that next step to say, let me hide these commands within me. Let them become part of my heart, Lord. Let me have understanding about how to actually do this thing that you speak about in your word. And that when I speak about today pursuing wisdom, that's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about just gaining understanding of the scripture or even gaining understanding of God's way. I'm talking about taking it to that next step where you say, Lord, how can I make this part of my life? How can I actually step into wisdom so that if the Queen of Sheba ever comes to your house, not only are you able to give her answers to all her questions, but she can see everything about your life speaks of the wisdom of God. Everything you do, the way you carry yourself, your home, your hospitality, your children, your garden. I mean, everything around you says this is the wisdom of God. It's working in my life. That's what happened to her in the face of Solomon. The next if is if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasure. So what's this talking about? Well, I mean, that's common sense to think that, hey, yeah, if I have some silver out there, I'm going to be seeking for it. So in this idea, how does it build from seek to search? What's that? What's the build up there? Well, seeking in this case means to seek for something specific. I'm looking for silver, okay? Maybe you're saying, Lord, I need to study what the scripture says about raising my children. So I'm gaining knowledge. I'm going to study God's wisdom about how does a parent treat his children? How do I raise them? How do I equip them to walk in this world today? You know, what's the instruction of the Lord? What's the discipline of the Lord? So I'm gaining some knowledge here, but now what do I do with it? That's what we just talked about. This other part here now, the searching for, is basically kind of a carte blanche. It's basically saying, I'm searching for treasure. I don't even know what's out there. I'm not looking for something specific. I'm not looking just how do I raise my children. I just want to go out here, Lord. I'm on a search for whatever treasures you show me. And here's the beautiful thing about that. God's word is so full of treasure. The wisdom of God is just full of treasure. And I think there are times when we need to be specific in our study and say, hey, I need to know how to use my tongue, or I need to know what do I do with my finances, or I need to know how to be in a marriage, or I need to know how to train my children. Those are all good things. But man, what if you were just to come to the Word of God and say, Lord, there's treasures that are here that I may never even see unless you show me. That's how I like to look at the Scripture. Yeah, there are times I'll look specifically, seek like you're seeking for silver. But other times, just look for the treasure. There's so much treasure in God's Word for us. Well, after these three ifs, if you receive my words, if you treasure up my commands, if you call out and you raise your voice for understanding, if you seek and then search for hidden treasure, then, that's when the then comes in, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. You might, how in the world does that work? I don't know how that works. That's just God's word. If you do this, this is where the fear of the Lord begins to come into your life and this knowledge of God. I want to leave that there just as foundational and just talk about a few other things here as we close. I want to look at 1 Kings 3. Solomon asked for wisdom. Remember, the Lord came to Solomon one day and he said, anything you want, just ask. I'll give it to you. Think, what would you do if the Lord came to you tonight? You're sitting there praying in your chair, and the Lord appears and says, hey, I heard your prayer. I just want you to know, anything you want, just name it. I wonder what would be on our list. Solomon asked for wisdom. And the Lord said, wow, I'm so pleased that you asked for this, because you asked for this and didn't ask for wealth or riches or to have power over your enemies. I'm going to give you all that as well. God was just really blessed that this man wanted wisdom above anything else. And he became known as the wisest man. It says, I will give you, the Lord said, I will give you a wise and discerning mind so that none like you has been before you and none like you shall arise after you. In other words, here's the wisest man on the planet. Why? Because he asked God. And we saw how the Queen of Sheba was drawn to understand, how does this wisdom of God work in this man's life? In chapter 4, verse 29, God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding beyond measure. And the breadth of mind, like the sand on the seashore. Think about that. That guy had a lot going on. So that Solomon's wisdom surpassed the wisdom of all the people of the East and all the wisdom of Egypt. Isn't that awesome? Because he was asking. In 4 verse 34, it says, people of all nations came to hear the wisdom of Solomon. It wasn't just the Queen of Sheba. All the nations came. They wanted to hear this man's wisdom. What's going on, man? It just was so, I don't know. This wisdom was so known. People talked about it and the news spread and everybody wanted to come. They were pursuing wisdom. The man, Solomon, has all this wisdom. He's the wisest person who ever lived. He's wiser than anybody around this world. And they then go to pursue after it. Teach me, show me, give me wisdom for my life. But there was this pursuit of wisdom. The people of all nations came to hear the wisdom from Solomon and all the kings of the earth. And that's, if you think about that, that's a big statement, because a lot of times kings are guys that have a lot of, I don't know, pride, arrogance, power. To be able to say, this king over here has more wisdom than any of us, and I want to go hear from him, is really an amazing statement. It shows the power of that wisdom that was there, but also the humility of their heart. But all these kings went and they heard of his wisdom. Now I want you to look over at Matthew 12, verse 42. Jesus was walking the earth, you know, back in his day. And in this particular chapter, Matthew 12, people are resisting him, giving him pushback. And here's what he said. The queen of the south will rise at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon, Solomon's wisdom. And now something greater than Solomon is here. You know who that was? Jesus. I think that's such an awesome scripture right there. I could stay there for a month and just think about that. All these people around the world were gravitating toward the wisdom of Solomon. And here we have wisdom personified in the person of Jesus, walking this earth, teaching, sharing, reproving, rebuking, all that he did, giving wisdom. And yet, we resist it. We push back against it. We choose our own path rather than his. And Jesus said, you know what's going to happen? One day there will be a judgment. There will be a resurrection. And in all the resurrection, all these people are going to come back out of the ground, and Queen of Sheba is going to be there. And he said, you know what? She's going to stand in front of this generation and condemn you. Why? Because she was able to recognize a wisdom that was here that moved her to go hear about it. And here we have wisdom personified right in your midst, and you push back. You resist it. You run from it. You hide from it. I think it's the same for our generation. The Queen of Sheba may rise and stand in judgment or condemnation against our generation. Here's somebody who came to the greatest wisdom, which was Solomon, under the lordship of Jesus, obviously. And now a greater than Solomon was here. So here's a question for us. Did I just jump up and sound like maybe a bunch of decibels? Okay. What do you think about Jesus? What do you think about the words of Jesus? You know, when you're pursuing wisdom, what we're really talking about is pursuing Jesus, the wisdom of God. Jesus said, the man who hears my words and puts them into practice is the wise person. See, a greater than Solomon is here. And if we're going to be pursuing God's wisdom, it starts with a pursuit of Jesus Christ. Look at these scriptures. I just have sections of a scripture. I'm not giving you the whole context, but just to make a point. 1 Corinthians 1:24, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Jesus Christ, the wisdom of God, personified. In other words, if God were to take all of his wisdom, everything that wisdom is about, and put it together into a person, it's Jesus. He is the wisdom of God. It doesn't say that he knows the wisdom of God. He is the wisdom of God. Remember how Solomon was there, and it wasn't just the answers to her questions. It was everything about him. Everything about Jesus screams out, this is the wisdom of God. This is the wisdom of God. If you're searching for wisdom, turn your heart to Jesus. He is called the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians 1:30, Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. I don't know. I mean, Jesus is, he is the wisdom of God, but he's wisdom from God. If I need wisdom, it's going to be through Jesus. It's somehow linked to the person of Jesus Christ, God's wisdom. Colossians 2, verse 2, Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. We talked about this hidden treasure. It's found in Jesus. You know, I just encourage you guys, maybe you've done this, maybe you haven't. Why don't you take some time and just read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read it again and again and again. It's a story of the life of Jesus. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's wisdom personified. Jesus. That's what he's saying. When the Father says, hey, I want to show you my wisdom, all he has to do is put Jesus out in front of us. And for us to hear the words of Jesus and just brush them aside, put them on a shelf, I mean, we're only hurting ourselves to do that. When this Queen of Sheba and all the kings of the earth and all those nations came to hear this wisdom from Solomon, and we have in the person of Jesus Christ something greater, man, I mean, I think as a church, the church should just be pursuing after Jesus. Not just to know wisdom, but to live it, to let it permeate our lives, that wisdom will touch us in every respect. So I'd like you to stand with me. So today, the title of the message was, One Greater Than Solomon Is Here. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm asking this question, it's really about these three ifs. You know, is your ear open to his word? I hope it is. I hope it is. I hope you're saying, Lord, teach me. I want to hear it. I want to hear what you have to say. What do you have to say about this? But then go the next level and say, Lord, I want my heart to be inclined toward it. I don't want to just know about it. I want to live it. Show me how. Give me understanding about this. How about the if, calling out, cry out for wisdom. Are you crying out for wisdom? I hope you are. And again, it's not just wisdom like, how do I figure out this math equation here? It's not that. It's wisdom about life. It's God's ways. It's God. It's the life of Christ lived out in us, crying out for wisdom. And then raising my voice so that that wisdom becomes obedience, becomes part of who I am. What about if you seek and search? You know, are you doing that? I hope you will. I hope you will. I hope you'll take and say, Lord, I want to seek out your wisdom. You know, I want to seek out. If you have a struggle in your life with anger, open the Word of God and seek it out. So, Lord, what do you got to say about this, Lord? But then move into it. Say, Lord, incline my heart to this. Whatever it may be, seek it out. But then also be open to whatever the Lord wants to show you in terms of all the riches that are here found in Christ. In Christ are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I hope when the Queen of Sheba or the Queen of the South rises in the judgment, that she could look at you and say, man, I understand why you went after Jesus, because I pursued Solomon. I saw the wisdom and I went there and I traveled there and I gave him stuff. I was so enthralled by what he had to say. And I saw in you guys following after Jesus. And I'm not here to condemn. I'm here to say, bravo, way to go, because you searched for God's wisdom and it was found in the person of Jesus. So let's pray. I'm going to ask today if there's anybody here who's never really surrendered your heart to Jesus. Maybe today's your day. You say, Jesus, you know what? I know about you, but today I want to surrender my heart to you. Let that be your day. Maybe you're a person who's here and you know about the Lord. You know about his ways. You know about his word, but it's never really moved toward application. It's never moved into actual obedience. I just pray that you wouldn't be caught, you know, with the storms of life coming against you with no foundation, that call out to God and say, Lord, give me that extra oomph to move beyond the intellect to where wisdom becomes part of my life. So, Father, I pray, for is anybody here today, Lord, who doesn't know you in that deep, intimate way that you want, why don't you just take a moment and say to the Lord in your own words, Lord, I want to know you. I want to follow you. I want you to show me your ways, and I want to surrender to you. Tell him words like that out of your own heart. And Lord, for all of us, for the rest of us that are here, I pray that we would not be hardened toward the Word of God, that we would not become cynical toward the Word of God, that we would not become lazy in the approach to the Word of God, that there would be in our heart this pursuit of wisdom, like the Queen of Sheba. I ask you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen.